This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
It's going to be back home and at home base in Dallas, Texas. That means I had to put the toilet seat down with Marcel, Louise, Jacques, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Marcel, good to have you along with us. And we had a bit of a scare today with Team USA, my good friend.
Tell me about it, man. I mean, a double-digit deficit, and it was just like, wow, we can see this coming. Right, like there, people were getting just cocky enough, just confident enough, USA fans, that this seemed destined to happen. But I mean, this is what happens when you have the three best closers in the world all on one team. Right, they're going to close.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at Steph, you're looking at KD, you're looking at LeBron. Now you can say Jokic is one of those dudes who was on the other team, and Charles Barkley will join us coming up in about 10 minutes, and we had a chance to sit down with him. While he was watching USA and Serbia, you do not want to miss this because it is absolutely priceless and hilarious. But one thing that he brought up when we were just kind of catching up, Marcel, is, man, Serbia played this right. They were playing possum, in the exhibition matchups, in the tune-up games. And it was a brilliant, kind of subliminal mind game that they were playing with Team USA. And they had a 17 – folks – Serbia had a 17-point lead in the second half. And every time Team USA or Steph had hit a big three, and Steph finished with 36 tonight on 12 of 19 shooting, 9 of 14 from beyond the arc. He also had 8 rebounds, and I can't remember how much. I just only had a couple of assists. LeBron had a triple-double, 16, 10, and 12. But, man, every time they'd hit a big three or make a bucket to cut it to – 8, right, or single digits, next thing you know, Serbia would come right back and go on a 6-0 run or an 8-0 run. And I really thought they were going to lose. I really did. Until they didn't. To your point, when you have those three guys, I don't care how big the deficit is, you got a shot.
And you know what, Ian? Shout out to Joel Embiid, right? Because a lot of the conversation about him throughout the week was, should he be playing? I mean, shoot, we talked about it on the show. Is it okay for him to be playing? He picked up an ankle injury against, what is it? It was Brazil. Didn't play in the second half. Now, all of a sudden, he's got to play the best center in the world in Nikola Jokic and drops 19 points, plays a full game, gets out of it healthy. He showed up when he needed to show up. So, kudos to Joel Embiid for weathering the storm throughout the week and showing up for Team USA here, his newfound home country.
Yeah, he went 8 of 11 from the floor, 19 points, 4 boards, 2 dimes. He had a heck of a night also, or a day, I should say, night over there. But, Embiid, he had that one baseline move, goes up for a monster jam, and then he lands kind of awkwardly. I mean, almost like a big old – picture dropping a fence post, right, onto a basketball court. His legs were straight. They weren't bent, right? It wasn't a comfort landing on that dunk. You know the play I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where his legs didn't bend at all. And you're
there was no give there.
Oh, none. You're like, oh, my Lord, did he just get hurt? Yeah, I mean, can you imagine the Sixers, right? Or just NBA fans going, did he just get banged up or ripped that knee up again playing in this game? But he didn't. He was fine. But it was one of those, hold your breath moments today. But bottom line is, Team USA found a way to beat Serbia 95-91 because they outscored them in the fourth quarter 32-15.
Again, closers close at the end of the day. The rest of the world has caught up in terms of just overall talent. We can no longer say that, the three or five best players in the world are all in Team USA starting lineup. Like, that's just not the case anymore.
No.
But that's why I had to qualify. Closers. We have the best closers in the world on this team, and there is just simply no world in which at least one of KD, LeBron, and Steph are not ready to throw daggers in crunch time, and that's exactly what we saw Steph do. Saw KD do it too, that little pull-up jump shot.
Yeah.
That deep two, that classic KD shot. As soon as he hit that, I said, okay, I think I can breathe now. It was still close, but I said, I think I can breathe. These guys got it.
He's Marcel Louis-Jacques in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio as we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. You mentioned KD. Here is KD with Brian Windhorst on the thoughts on the big comeback win for Team USA.
Best game's ever been a part of. We dug deep in down 15 that late in the game. And the fourth quarter dominance that we showed, I think we won, 34 to 15. And by our defense and getting out and running transition, we barely called plays. We just played off of each other well. You know, it was a lot of nonverbal, you know, actions out there. Guys just knew each other were going to be on both ends of the floor. It was special, especially to be a part of Steph Curry. We talked about each game, somebody have to step up. It might be your night. And he came and had the best night out of anybody the whole tournament. So incredible to watch him knock down shots to keep us afloat. Bron playing extremely hard the whole game. I mean, it was incredible, man. Joel was insane tonight. I just love what everybody did.
You know what's also cool to watch? How fired up they were. When Steph hit that big three with about 90 seconds to go, and he let out this barbaric roar. I mean, it was – if you don't think that gold, you know, doesn't mean something to these guys, look at Scottie Scheffler, you know. He didn't cry after he won the Masters, Marcel, right? He was in flat-out tears after he won gold. Watching Steph – LeBron, how intense he was with that gray showing up in his beard. He's looking like me now. I mean, that's one of my favorite things to watch. These dudes are gazillionaires. You know, you're talking about multiple NBA championships, and to watch how much this means to them and how close they were to being eliminated and finding a way to win and the euphoria at the end, that is so damn awesome and refreshing to watch. I like kids out there playing.
Oh, absolutely. And then not to mention, in how many times have these guys, you know, literally everybody on this team been on the other side of a late game Steph rampage? Like, how many times have they seen, have that happened to them? Yeah. Have they had to weather the storm? So now they're like, oh, this is what that feels like? Oh, this is what it's like to have a guy on our team in that kind
of
zone?
On our side? Right?
This is awesome.
Hitting those damn logo threes, not against me, but with me now, right?
You know, from the other side, that's not actually annoying. This is kind of, it's kind of cool. And what I love about this team, this team and the makeup and how it was built, you know, Steph doesn't have to be a facilitator. KD doesn't have to be a facilitator. And LeBron can be. LeBron can lean into that part of his game. That's it. That's who he is. He's a pass-first player who can also drop 30 points a game. He doesn't have to do that now. He can actually run the offense. He can set things up. He can set other guys up. And they just play off of it so incredibly well. So, like, it is a perfectly crafted Team USA. I cannot wait for this gold medal match against France. The atmosphere in that arena is going to be just electric.
Medieval,
man.
Bro. Medieval.
We got to fly Draymond Green out there somehow to try to get in Gobert's head. You know, just to have him chirp, sit him behind the French.
Just have him sit behind the bench
and chirp all game. Like,
I might come off the top rope, man. Watch out. You don't know. I mean, that is a brilliant idea and a great strategy that somehow we have to find happen. Either that or just have sit Snoop Dogg behind the bench and have him blow smoke on him, one way or the other. I mean, like, just get that second
hand. I would love the Snoop commentary, the alternate broadcast.
Did you see him in the whole equestrian outfit? I mean,
not cribbage. What is it called?
Dressage.
Dressage.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, absolutely priceless, right? So, yeah, let's get Draymond or Snoop right behind the bench and go have some fun. Team USA showed how talented they were in their comeback win today. Robert Half knows talent. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. By the way, we got NFL football on right now. Carolina, New England has just kicked off. New England is a 6-point favorite, total 35.5 on ESPN Bet. Giants and Detroit have kicked off in the Meadowlands. Giants a 3.5-point favorite, 35.5 is a total also in that bad boy. And Drake May will play tonight for the Pats. Can't wait to see that. We'll keep you up to date on all of that as the show goes on. But coming up, Charles Barkley, Unplugged, right here on ESPN Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Untuck It or Allbirds. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Untuckit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network. Ah, fall Saturdays. The air is crisp. The game is on. Your friends are here, and you're outside on grill duty. The Home Depot knows missing the game is not an option. Thankfully, the Traeger Timberline XL Grill is here to help you play defense and make the most of every Saturday. First up, we've got fans to feed, and the Timberline XL is a real crowd pleaser. It can bake, smoke, sear, fry, and saute, so you can feed everyone at the watch party. Whether you want sweet, tangy ribs, jalapeno poppers with a smoky kick, grilled street corn, or some classic buffalo wings, this utility player can do it all. And with Wi-Fire tech and the Traeger app, you can monitor your smoker temp, meat probes, and pellet levels all from the comfort of your couch. So you can watch the game, not the grill, and never miss a moment. Defend your game time with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
USA survives against Jokic in Serbia 95-91 because they outscored them by 17 in the fourth quarter, with Marcel-Louis Jacques in for Amber Wilson. On me and Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. And earlier today, we had the chance to sit down with Charles Barkley while Team USA was playing Serbia. It doesn't get much better. So when you think about Charles Barkley, get ready, because every now and then he gets unplugged. Charles Barkley right now on everything college football, Team USA, the state of basketball, Olympics, you name it, we got it. Chuck, how we doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Sitting here watching this game, and as I told Maria Taylor the other night, I said, man, this game scares the hell out of me, because – you know, Serbia's played possum the first two games because they didn't matter. And they got the best player in the world out there. I said, this is going to be the most dangerous, tough game for this team. So I'm not feeling good right now. We're down like 15, but we've got a long way to go. But this was going to be a scary game no matter what.
What is it about there's an entire generation. We'll get into your Olympic experience in a moment. There is literally an entire generation that has never heard the stories of those epic battles of practice for the 92, the original Dream Team with you, Jordan, Bird, Magic, all those greats. We'll touch on that in a moment. But, you know, you just mentioned that Serbia scared the hell out of you. What was the biggest thing? Was it because of the way they didn't put forth an effort in those first two games in the exhibition games?
Well, they know it didn't matter. They knew they were going to play in the knockout round, but they got the best player in the world. So they were like, okay, let's kind of get the United States overconfident. The first game was an exhibition. They didn't care. And the second game didn't matter because it wasn't a knockout game. And you see now, this is like night and day compared to what it was. So it's going to be a dogfight. I expect it to go down to the wire. But, man, this would be disappointing if we don't win.
If they, you know, if the U.S. comes back and wins a close game, what does that do for this team being tested like that?
It don't do anything. They shouldn't be tested. They should win. They got the best team. They got, you know, they haven't used their depth the right way, because the one advantage we had in 92, and they still have today, when they go to their bench, they're bringing in better players. So you always, like, even though they got Joker and Bogdanovich, the rest of these guys aren't as good as Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Kevin Durant. The guys we're bringing off the bench are better than their starters, except Joker.
So do you think that Kerr has not used this team properly? Used his bench properly?
He has not. He has not used his team properly. We should never be a debate on guys getting to play and not getting to play. Whoever you throw out there, like I say, they're going to have an advantage against 99.9% of the people in the world. So you use the depth at your advantage. The one thing that Chuck Daly did, he says, you guys going to play the first 10 minutes. You guys going to play the second 10 minutes. And you're going to wear them down because, number one, if they go to their bench, you're going to have a huge advantage. But if you keep their starters in the game, we're going to have still – you're going to get worn down. So you use your depth to your advantage.
Charles Barkley joining us here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. What would you do differently from what Steve Kerr has done so far?
Just play everybody. That's what you do. You play everybody. I mean, you got to use your you use your depth to your advantage. Don't use it to listen. You can't putting Jason Tatum in an NBA game. He's going to be better than 99% of the guys already in the world, but especially guys who coming from a foreign country. So you just kind of keep your guys on a treadmill and keep them rolling around.
Charles Barkley here with us preaching to everybody on ESPN Radio. All right, man, we'll touch on 92 in a moment because your stories are absolutely priceless and hilarious and intense. But yesterday it comes out, you know what? You ain't going anywhere. And every sports fan and basketball fan, heck, just any fan of anything, was thrilled that you and Ernie and Shaq and Kenny – some form or fashion are coming back, man. So take us behind the scenes. What the heck happened?
Well, I had a clause in my contract where I could be a free agent if we lost the NBA, which clearly we have. And I'm like, okay. So they came up and met with me last week, and I said, what are we going to do? And I said, obviously my number one priority is keeping as many people employed as possible. And I was able to do that. And I don't think we have any idea what we're going to do in fairness and honesty. I do. I don't think we know what we're going to do. But the main thing I wanted when they came up here was, hey, what are we going to do? I said, I want to keep everybody employed. I said, if I have to take a pay cut, I'll take a pay cut. They're like, you don't have to do that. And so we don't know what we're going to do after next year. But my number one goal was to make sure that all the people at Turner were still employed. So far, I think I feel really good about that, and I'm excited, and I can't wait.
All right, several things.
Even though I don't know what we're going
to
do.
I was going to say, let's start there, right? Yeah. And then we'll get to you being just as the one of the more generous people that we've gotten to know in the last quarter century in our lives, man. But how are you going to do a studio show when you don't have the NBA?
That's a good question. Hey, Ian, that's a good question. But TNT said, hey, we're going to stay together. And, man, I tell you, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, like I say, my main thing was to keep people at Turner employed. It's been really dreary at work the last couple months because, you know, hundreds of people were going to lose their job.
What does that mean to you to make sure that those people – still are collecting a paycheck and people behind the scenes that you've gotten to know so well?
Yeah, man, it means a lot to me. Because, you know, I have been working with them the last few months. I'm going to give all 50 people who are in the studio every night downstairs, not up in the entire studio. I'm going to give every one of those people $5,000. It means a lot to me. That's how much they mean to me. Then TNT said they can't, I got to do it, and then the government told me they got to pay taxes. I'm like, screw the government and screw TNT. I'll find a way to get it to y'all in cash. So that's all I've been working on the last couple of months, trying to come up with all that money in cash. Because our government, they ain't going to do nothing but screw it up, and TNT is none of their business if I'm going to give them a bonus. So that's my number one priority is to coming up with that money for those 50 people, because they're amazing, man, and they've been under so much stress lately. You know, Ian, because I've never been in a situation where they're like, God, they're like, we go out drinking and having fun. They're like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got a wife. I got kids. I got a mortgage. I'm like, and I'm going to get fired. I'm like, man, that sucks. You know, and let's be honest, I've never been in that situation before, but I know it must suck. And I want to do something nice for them. And I told them, I said, guys, I don't know how this thing going to end. But I'm going to give all y'all. And I said, how many people? They're like, it's about 50. I said, okay. I'm going to give all y'all a $5,000 bonus because I got number love and respect for y'all. And then, like I say, when TNT came up here last week, I was like, I have no idea what y'all are thinking. So let's get together. They said, can we come sit with you? And I said, okay. And I said, what are we going to do? And they're like, we don't know. Like, what the hell does that mean? And So, like I say, I have no idea what we're going to do. I'm just glad people are going to have a job for at least more than one more year.
You know, Snoop Dogg was covering quite equestrian events over there and at the Olympics, man. So why don't you jump into a little college football?
Hey, man, I try to stay in my lane, to be honest with you. I do. I try to stay in my lane.
Well, hey, Chuck, dressage, you know, in equestrian events ain't exactly in Snoop's lane.
No. But he would. That's entertainment. Like, we have enough fools on television talking about they know everything about every sport. I always get annoyed when guys, I ain't gonna call anybody out, like, well, he's a horrible quarterback. Or he's a horrible wide receiver. I'm like, you've never played football a day in your life. How you know somebody's a horrible, horrible quarterback or wide receiver or a bad pitcher? You know, so that drives me crazy. So I stay in my lane, man. I feel good about giving my opinion about basketball, and I stay in my lane. So, hey, man, I have zero idea what's going to happen after next year. So I'm going to sit back and watch just like you guys are and see. I don't have any idea. I know we just got the French Open. I don't know anything about tennis except John McEnroe's my favorite player all time and my favorite announcer all time. But I wouldn't feel comfortable doing like I say, man, this is going to be new.
Charles Barkley here with us on ESPN Radio. And from a conversation we had earlier, while he was watching Team USA beat Serbia, and at the time they were trailing. And quick thought, Marcel, with Marcel Luis Jacquemin and Fitzsimmons, you agree or disagree as to what he said about Steve Kerr not managing his bench very well?
I mean, I'm hard-pressed to disagree with an NBA Hall of Famer, but, I mean, Team USA is undefeated right now. He knows something about what he's doing. It doesn't matter about using the bench. As long as LeBron, KD, and Curry are in the game at the end, it's really all you got to know.
Because they are closers.
Best closers in the world,
there
baby.
You go, right there, man. I would love to see Chuck call some tennis, though, man. That might be hilarious. We continue with more with Charles Barkley on everything involving the NBA, the Olympics, and college football right here on ESPN Radio.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
With Marcel Luis Jacques, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Thank you for spending part of your evening, or if you're on the West Coast, afternoon with us, as we are presented in part by Progressive. Like I just mentioned that. Good job. Would it be redundant? Charles Barkley here with us. And, man, Chuck, we were just talking about, you know, Team USA getting past Serbia 95-91. You had a remarkable experience in 1992 on the original Dream Team. And there's an entire generation that hasn't heard a lot of your stories from the original Dream Team. I mean, Jordan, Bird, Magic, Ewing, Robinson, Pippen, Karl Malone, you name it, Clyde the Glide. I mean, it was a who's who of basketball. So go back to that experience. What was that like for you?
Yeah, man, the Olympics is so cool. You never even realize how exciting and awesome it is until you're at the Olympics, because, you know, television is kind of limited. They're only going to show you what they want you to see. But when you're there, you hear, you meet all these people from these different countries, and they tell you what it means to represent their country. And you're like, whoa, man. And you're like, man, we're representing the United States of America, the whole United States. It's pretty cool and it's pretty special. And then obviously the guys we had with Michael and Larry and Magic, who were the three most, first of all, the three most influential basketball players ever. No disrespect to anybody else. But if it wasn't for Bird and Magic, the NBA wouldn't be what it was today. And then obviously Michael took it to a whole nother level. But to have 5,000 people just standing outside of the hotel, just wanting to watch us get on the bus, and have hundreds of people just standing on the highway holding signs, it was incredible. I mean, the amount of security they had for us. But obviously, and I tell you, I don't get excited about much in my life. But when you get, do they play that national anthem from your country? It's one of the most amazing things. You saw, I saw Scottie Scheffler crying last week.
Yeah.
Man, we were getting goosebumps.
Yep.
We were getting flat out getting goosebumps when they were playing the national anthem. I mean, it's just an amazing thing, plain and simple.
Take us on into that moment when you're on the podium, the stars and stripes are being raised. Just hearing me say that, I'm sure you just had a flashback and a memory, you know, and a mental snapshot. What's that like?
Well, you know, like I say, when Scottie Scheffler was crying, we were kind of like, we didn't cry, but man, I was getting goosebumps. I mean, it's really incredible when you like, wow, you're just standing on the podium and they're playing your national anthem. Think about it. It's really such a surreal feeling to win a gold medal, to represent your country, win a gold medal, and to be there and hear all the stories from the other countries and all the other people. It's just an amazing thing. And I can't even put it into words how awesome it was. I tell people, you know, I was talking to Mike Wilbon, who's a great mentor for me, and he said on PTI, out of all the events he's covered, there's nothing like the Olympics. And I sent him a text. I said, you're 100% correct. You know, I've been to Super Bowls. I played for the World Championship. I didn't win, obviously. But, man, when you're at the Olympics, the story that these different countries are talking about, it's just flat out amazing.
Take everybody behind the scenes. Some of your favorite stories and the intense practices that you guys had. What was that like? Go back and take us a little trip down memory lane.
You look at this team here today. They got a bunch of great players. But to go against each other, because in the NBA, when you're a great player, there are very few players you play against on a nightly basis that are on your level. LeBron, unless he's playing against KD, Joker, guys like that, now Jason Tatum, anybody like that, he's going to be the best player. Like, it's like a real situation. I was playing against Karl Malone. We were trying to prove who was the best power forward in the world. You had David and Patrick trying to prove who was the best center in the world. Magic was mad because Scotty had locked him down. So they were going at it hard. Then you had Clyde, who thought he was as good as Michael Jordan. So they were trying to kill each other. You know, and obviously ego was involved. So to play against somebody who you think is good as you or you're better than, that's the epitome of what sports is. You know, you lace them up and let's see who the best. But can you imagine doing that like every day? That's what's crazy about it. Like I say, 99% of the time when you're a great player, you're the best player. But to play against somebody just as good as you, and the problem you got is there are no weak links out there. You're like, oh, I'm passing the ball to Michael Jordan. Oh, I'm Magic Johnson passing me the ball. So, like, you had to have your A game every day. And people have said they've never seen anything scrimmage-wise like that. And I've never, like I say, I've played against a lot of great players in my day. But I didn't have to play against a great player every day is a whole nother level because you have to be so like, you know what, I cannot be screwing around. Because if I screw around, Karl Malone going to kick my ass. If you're David Robinson, hey, if I screw around, Patrick Ewing is going to say, you know, I'm going to do this here. So the intensity was on a whole nother level.
Did it ever nearly come to blows?
No. We had too much respect for each other.
Okay.
You know, obviously, well, first of all, we had egos, but our respect for each other, we were like, we want to be the best. I want to prove I was the best power forward in the world. Because at that time, they're like, who's the best power forward in the world? I said, me. You know, Dave Ross and Patrick Ewing, like, yeah, I'm the best center. And like I say, Michael was, he was the best at that time, but Clyde Drexler was a great player. He's like, no, I'm like, let's watch this. And Magic, like I say, Magic had just got shut down by Scotty in the finals, and he's out there like, no, you can't stop me. So you put those things out there, man. It was pretty, it was amazing. It's the best thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Charles Barkley here with us on ESPN Radio. We would be remiss if we didn't ask you a little bit about some college football. You're a diehard college football fan. You're a proud Auburn Tiger. We actually just got done, Chuck, with the ESPN College Football Seminar. You know, Herbie, the entire crew's up there in Bristol. And there was a poll done, thousands of college football fans. You ready for this? That only 35% of the thousands polled know that it's a 12-team playoff this year. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think more people are going to, obviously, I don't know who you were talking to. It's going to be interesting. Number one, I'm going to give a shout-out to Nick Saban, the greatest coach ever. You know, we lost the two greatest coaches ever in Belichick and Coach Saban. And I want to give a shout-out to both of them and thank them for what they did for the game. Coach Saban's the best college coach ever, and Bill Belichick's the greatest pro football coach ever. What they both accomplished will never come close to being accomplished again. And the NCAA, they're a bunch of freaking idiots. I don't know how this thing gonna turn out now because of NIL. I mean, it is really just a show. And I feel bad because a lot of these teams are gonna suffer. A lot of these colleges are going to suffer. A lot of the female sports probably going to suffer probably more than anybody. I mean, all these colleges can't, you know how stupid this whole thing is? Think about this. Out of all the sports in the world, the only sport that don't have a salary cap is college football. How stupid is that?
Yeah, they're trying to fix that, but how do you put the toothpaste
back
in that
tube? Yeah, but it's too late. Once the toothpaste is out the tube, ain't no way to put it back in there. These kids ain't going to never go back to not making money. So the NCAA, I feel like I don't know what to do. I hate the whole NIL thing, giving kids millions of dollars for playing.
Well, Charles, I don't have a problem with the players making money at all. I think they should. You should have been paid what you were paid at Auburn. That's all in the story.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I was getting a $100 handshake. They ain't the same as millions of dollars. Hey, I don't mind. I think the kids should be getting some, but I'm not sure millions of dollars is the way to go.
There should have been a salary cap.
You talk about the haves and the have-nots.
Right.
We really going to have the haves and the have-nots going forward. I mean, I don't even know how you fix it, but you talk about the haves and the haves. Because, listen, one thing I know about them people in the South, they'll pay a gazillion dollars to be good at football, okay? one thing I know about the South, they will pay whatever it takes to be good at football. I'm excited to have Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC. It's going to be amazing. Two of the greatest college programs ever. But this thing where we giving kids millions of dollars to play college football, I don't think that's a model that's not sustainable. It's not sustainable at all.
Well, I think eventually there's going to be 72 or whatever arbitrary number you want to throw out there. They're going to separate and do their own division. They're a new Division I. That's what's going to happen. It'll be the SEC, Big Ten, probably the Big 12, and they'll jettison a couple schools, and it'll be logo-type schools. That's going to be the future. That's 5-10 years down the road, Chuck. But
yeah, and that's really unfortunate because you got to understand something, Ian. Most of these kids are never going to play pro sports. Most of them were getting a free education. And somewhere along the way, and like I say, I'm not opposed to kids getting money. I want to make that clear. But somewhere along the way, we don't value a free education. A free education is a really big deal to 99% of these kids. It's kind of like we screwed up the whole business model to make to 1% happy. That's what I think about NIL. We're like, less than 1% of all these players are going to go to the pros. But instead of saying, okay, let's try to fix it. We're like, no, we need to take care of this 1%. I was like, nah, we should be taking care of the 99%. We should not be doing everything we can. Like, no, let's take care of the 1%. No, let's don't do that. Let's take care of the 99%. And like you said, some of these cottages are going to go by the wayside. You said 72. I don't think it's going to be 72. I think it's going to be a lot less.
Yeah, maybe 60.
Because a lot of these schools are going to be like, yeah, I'm not paying. I'm not going. First of all, I'm one of the guys they be begging for money from all the time. I definitely damn sure don't want it.
How often do you get a phone call from somebody at Auburn going, we need more money? We got a quarterback on the hook. We need more money.
Every month, year.
I can't even imagine. By the way, watch out for Ole Miss now. The Lane train, Chuck. Watch out. They're talented, baby. This might be the year for the Rebs.
It's going to be interesting. No matter how talented you are, first of all, what are we going to do about these kids' bodies and CTE and crap like that? We can't keep playing these kids, because now you're going to have to win an extra couple of games, aren't you, to win the championship?
That's something that came up at the seminar, man. Should rosters be expanded? Should the scholarship go from 85 to 95?
See, I don't know if that would help, because if roster, first of all, it's a great point. But if rosters are expanded, aren't these big schools going to raid these smaller schools even more?
Probably.
So they got to play. I think they got to find a way to play less games. But it's so much money in this whole situation. I mean, think about that. It's so much money. And listen, the SEC, we are the best conference. We don't have any off weeks. So, man, it's going to be very interesting how this whole playoff thing play out. Because, man, we can't put these little 18, 19-year kids out there playing 14, 15 games. These kids going to be brain dead by the time they're 50.
Chuck, the winner will play 17.
You have to stay in college for 3 years.
Yep.
Let's say hypothetically, if you make the playoff every year and go deep, you're going to be playing close to 15 games a year.
17.
That's not
17, Chuck.
For 18, 19, 20-year-old kid.
Yeah, 17 is what the national champion will play this year, 17 games.
Wow. Think about that. You're going to play over 50 games if you make it to the playoffs. Hypothetically, if you make it to the playoff 3 years in a row, and those are the guys, because most of the guys going to end up playing for 4 years. Think about that. If you're 3 years, you can get out after 3 years and go to the NFL. Bless you, bless you, bless you. But you're still going to be playing 50 games, man. That's not good for you little kids' bodies. I'm just concerned where sports are going. I really am, because I always want my players to be taken care of. But, man, this is uncharted territory, and I just don't know what's going to happen. We all going to have to sit back and like, what the hell is happening?
You're the best, man. Thank you, Chuck. God bless you, dude. Holla at you. See you, buddy. That's Charles Barkley joining us here on ESPN Radio. From Team USA's come-from-behind win against Serbia, to his memories of the Dream Team in 92, to the state of college athletics. A lot to digest there and unpack. We give you one element of the college football playoff, staying with that conversation right there with Charles Barkley, that will shock you right here on ESPN Radio.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN Pod and use code ESPN Pod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPN Pod and use code ESPN Pod at checkout.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7-foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you're betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fadeaway jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Unpacked from the last half hour with Charles Barkley, Dan Mayer co-hosting the show here on ESPN Radio with Marcel Louise Jacques in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. And Marcel, you're hot on something that, if you are just tuning in, Chuck was going off on. Well, we started with, obviously, Team USA in Serbia to his Olympic time and his memories and how much he loves the Olympics to he's a diehard college football fan, a proud Auburn Tiger. And, Marcel, you want to kind of dive into something he was just harping on where he believes that the college football season with the expanded playoff, it's too many games on an 18-, 19-year-old's body. You know, the national champion's going to play a minimum of 17 games this year. If you come out of the first round and somehow are able to run the gauntlet, Marcel, you're looking at 18, 19 games. And this is something that you have you're with Chuck on this. You have a little bit of a concern when it comes to these players' bodies.
Yeah, I think it's a built-in concern. And I think it should have been a pretty obvious concern as soon as the 12-team playoff was announced, was formed. It kind of blows my mind that there was not a plan to protect players when this idea came together. Like, how is this unforeseen? Like, this isn't a shot. Like, what's going to be the wake-up call? You know, serious injuries throughout the playoffs or star players not being able to play? But at the same time, like, what's the fix? The NFL allowing players to enter the league early?
The biggest one to me is expanding rosters. You go from 85 scholarships to 95 scholarships, whatever it may be, whatever the number you want to throw on there. I was talking to Jay Higgins, the All-American linebacker from Iowa, who came back for his senior year. And I asked him about this. And that, by the way, this young man is going to be a coach one day. I mean, he's going to play, 8-10 years in the league, and then he's going to be one heck of a coach. He said that coaches are going to have to manage playing time a lot better this year. This is going to come into coaching where if you're up, by 24, which Iowa never will be, even with Tim Lester coming in as the offensive coordinator, but if you are up big in a game, you got to get your guys out because of the wear and tear that Charles and that you were talking about right now. You have to manage the game a little bit differently.
And that's it. I don't know if you have much of a gamer you are. The new college football, CFB 25, long last, has been released. But a prominent feature in the game is wear and tear. You have to pay attention to how many snaps your players, how many hits they're taking. You know, it drops their stats. It drops, if their arm is sore, if their midsection is, and you have to be able to rotate your players. So like, it's almost like they're soft launching what college coaches are going to have to do throughout the season, but he's completely right. Like, you have to manage reps. There's no more rubbing it in. Like, if you're up multiple scores late in the fourth, go ahead and let that backup go. Let that backup quarterback in there. Get that third string running back in the game. Mix your offensive line up. But you're right. Like, you're going to have to eventually expand rosters so that those rotations, can happen a little more efficiently. But I hope this is something they fix during the 2025 offseason, and that nothing in this year's version of the playoff, nothing drastic happens, nothing awful happens because there's no rule like this in place. But like, it's just one of those scenarios. I don't want, tragedy, or I don't want disaster to form how they govern this sport moving forward.
Think about this, Marcel, also. Just when it comes to the 12-team playoff, this is going to be sticker shock for some fans out there. Because, you got 12 teams, 5 conference champions, plus the 7 highest-ranked teams. The 4 highest conference champs get a bye and host a game. Well, here's the thing. So if Notre Dame's ranked number 1 all year, they will not be the number 1 overall seed in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. They will be at best the fifth seed in the college football playoff. How many people are going to be sitting there going, wait a minute, they were just one, why they dropped to five, they're undefeated, or whatever it may be. That is going to be shock value at the end of the season for people who really aren't digesting the rules and how this whole thing is laid out.
And yeah, I don't have to tell you that I'm sure that the Notre Dame fan base in that scenario would take it completely in stride and accept the rule as currently constructed. There's not going to be any pushback from them, right?
No, but that crew? Hell no.
Calm fan base.
No, man. They'll take it in stride. You know what?
This is
join
the
a
rules
conference.
The rules.
Then you can be the number one overall seed. Until then, your butt's going to five, even if you're number one overall. I'm telling you, that is going to be shock value for some fan base when they're ranked second and all of a sudden they end up being eighth, right, in final rankings.
Join the Big Ten.
Right.
Don't be a coward. Join Big Ten. You're right there. You're in the heart of it.
Coming up next, we got an issue with some preseason games. We'll explain right here on ESPN Radio.